Church writer Will Mancini says, church is not something you do or a place you go to, but what you are. Just like the person of Jesus, the local church as the body of Christ must understand what it is created and called to do. I think this is a good quote as we enter a new year, a wonderful opportunity to see God's 2020 vision for our church, if you will. We have our annual meeting today that will be coming up in a bit. We'll be reviewing the annual report, and hopefully everyone has received a copy of it. We do encourage you to actually read it and see what all has been going on in the life and work of our church over the past year. We have changed the format a bit from last year. We hope to make it a little more visual, a little bit easier to understand. We'd love your feedback on it, so you can share that with us. And we'll be reviewing our reports at the meeting. You can answer questions. We'll answer your questions if you have any. We'll also enjoy fellowship time and a delicious soup luncheon put on by our hardworking Care and Fellowship Commission. We're thankful to them. An annual meeting is a good time to take a look back at the highlights of the past year, 2019, as well as look ahead to the future. It's a good time to take a look at the current state of our church, as well as make plans for the years to come and dream dreams for what God may have for us. So I'm presenting this year's State of the Church address. Hopefully less dramatic than certain other addresses that may have been given this past week. Hopefully this address is an opportunity to celebrate what we've accomplished together as a congregation, to celebrate God's grace working in and through us to accomplish what we've been able to accomplish over the past year, to see God at work and celebrate that. It's also an opportunity to challenge ourselves, to look boldly into the future and radically trust in God's grace to guide us and deeper into our calling and to follow Jesus Christ, both as individuals and as a church, to trust that God will give us fresh 2020 vision for ministry. I've selected these texts from Matthew and Philippians that express gratitude for the people of the church, for all of you, and the gifts that God has poured out upon us, and encourage us to seek God's will above all else, trusting that God will provide what we need to live out faithfully our calling as a Christian community. And I hope these texts will encourage us and motivate us as we seek to embark on a new ministry adventures in 2020. So let's take a look at the state of the church. Our text from Philippians begins with a word of thanks. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from this day until now. Like Paul, I too am grateful to all of you for all of your gifts, your time, your dedication to our congregation, your generous giving, the way you care for one another, whether it's putting on a coffee hour reception or setting up for worship or greeting people or handing out bulletins, serving on committees and commissions and session, contributing to special offerings, singing in our choir, making donations, all you do, whatever the occasion, you rise to the challenge. I'm humbled and grateful for all that you do for our church. With your varied gifts, it wouldn't be possible to do all that we do without each of you. Might be a little cheesy, but it's true. We can't spell the church without you, each and every one of you. I'm grateful that you've invested in me as your pastor, not just financially, but working with me in leadership. Your generous gifts make all we do possible, so thank you. Like Paul, I thank my God every time I remember you, praying with joy in all my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel together, that you are part of a 300-year spiritual legacy that continues, so thank you. The year 2019 has brought many blessings to our congregation. God is doing some wonderful things in our midst. We'll have time to go through the annual report in more detail, But I wanted to highlight a few key things that we've continued to gather and worship together. We have discovered creative ways to worship and fellowship together. We stumbled upon the iteration of Cafe Church, and we've decided to continue that tradition. We've deepened our understanding of God's redemptive work in Scripture through studies and sermon series on the story of the Bible and the Lord's Prayer. We participated in community worship experiences with our ecumenical partners on Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunrise, as well as participating in our Newark Interfaith Thanksgiving service. We are a church that partners with others and enjoys being with others in the community. We participated in fellowship events in our congregation with our community, our weekly coffee hours and movie nights and church suppers and concerts and other activities. We cared for one another, our members and friends, by sending cards and delivering flowers and making phone calls and visits, as well as uplifting one another in prayer. Groups like Happy Older Presbyterians and T and Huga continue to grow and provide nurture and enrichment and fellowship to members and friends. We engaged in outreach in our community through our website, our printed materials, and promoted our worship services and events in the community. We've also hosted concerts and other activities to engage our community. We've continued to enhance the musical expression of our church in worship, as well as provide important professional development to our choral student program through our two choral singers and apprentice choir director. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us. We are blessed to have you. And we are blessed by our young people who participate in our worship and fellowship, as well as participate in mission and outreach projects that benefit the whole community. They truly have a heart for all of you and for the community beyond. And we're blessed to have them, as well as the adults who work with them to nurture their faith. Thank you all. We have kept our building safe and operable and aesthetically pleasing through regular maintenance and important capital expenditures. It's an important part of our ministry. We continue to support our paid staff, our office administrator and sexton, and our organist. And I'm grateful for all that they do. So we have been blessed in a lot of ways in ministry. Administratively and financially, we're solid. There's always concerns about financial viability. Every church seems to wrestle with that these days. But we're in pretty good shape financially. Those who give regularly are continuing to give, increase their giving. Our resources are being prudently invested, and our committees and commissions are being good stewards of their budgeted funds. We made some important structural changes to the session and committee structure, reducing the size of the session from 9 to 7 members. We folded the personnel committee into our administration and finance committee and merged the mission and outreach commissions. Our hope is that this streamlined structure will enable us to free up time and energy and resources for possible new endeavors. We are also giving generously to those in need through various mission projects. Session approved, including past trail race beneficiaries in our budget, and our church mission supports over a dozen projects and organizations, both locally, nationally, and internationally, that seek to alleviate hunger, provide shelter to the homeless, and support vulnerable populations in bettering their lives in tangible ways. In addition to our budgeted mission funds, we've collected over $5,600 in special offerings for our denomination and other projects. And you have contributed generously to hands-on mission projects, collecting school supplies for the students at Downs Elementary, creating go bags for Newark Empowerment Center, collecting food and clothing for local ministries around the holidays, and volunteering regularly at Elkton Community Kitchen and Hope Dining Room. And there are still many other mission endeavors I didn't have time to mention or highlight, but you can check the annual report for more details on that. Jesus says to his followers, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do unto me." And I'm grateful for all you do to meet the needs of the least of these in our community. So thank you. So we have much to celebrate, and I know we are anxious over the challenges that we face with our aging congregation, diminishing resources. In the book Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory, a popular leadership book that offers a trail map for Christian leaders navigating a rapidly changing world. Our session's going to be looking at this book this year. It was written by author and leadership expert Todd Bulsinger, who uses the historic journey of Lewis and Clark and their expedition to find a water route across the U.S. to the Pacific Ocean as a metaphor to describe the unique challenges of doing ministry in our current culture. Bulsinger says when Lewis and Clark reached the Continental Divide, they expected to find a river that would allow them to paddle easily to the Pacific Ocean. What they saw instead were the Rocky Mountains. That's the type of challenges facing church leaders today. So daunting, so new, and so unexpected that the old solutions won't work. It's not going to do any good to paddle harder, Bulsinger says. You have to make an adaptation. Bulsinger says for Lewis and Clark, who were men of the Enlightenment age, at a moment when they realized that their mission was a failure, that there was no water route to the Pacific Ocean, they didn't stop. For many people who are Christian, there are certain markers of success and certain measurements that we're used to and certain strategies that go along with them. A moment of crisis takes us back to our deepest value. There's a reason for this journey to continue. It's worthy of giving our lives for it. It's bigger than the size of our offering plates or our sanctuaries or the number of people in our pews. There's something about the way in which God wants to be made real in the world that we can embrace. Bulsinger says, of course, the title is the irony, right? It's called Canoeing the Mountains, but the whole point, of course, is you have to dump the canoes. The challenge for us is determining what it means to drop our canoes, to follow the path God has for us in today's world. The canoes of Christendom, doing church like we've done since the 1950s, won't necessarily work in today's culture. We're running up against the Rocky Mountains of our cultural landscape, so to speak. So we'll have to navigate very different terrain than we have in the past. We'll have to drop our canoes to be successful. Churches that have successfully dropped their canoes have experimented with new forms of Christian community. In addition to their traditional forms, they haven't abandoned those, but they've also embraced new forms like dinner church, community cafes, service projects with ministry partners out in the community. These are just some of the ways the churches have begun to chart a new path. Rather than expect people to show up here at our doors, I think we're increasingly going to be called to go outside of our building and interact with our neighbors where they are, to engage with our neighbors on their terms and on their turf, and seek to meet their needs and not necessarily our own. The Unglued Church Project and the outcomes of this process will give us a framework to begin to chart this new territory. The Unglued Church Project is an initiative of the Ignite team of Newcastle Presbytery, and we are part of this process. It's a year-long discernment process designed to get churches unstuck from survival mindset and chart some of these new territories, drop the canoes, and explore new ways of doing ministry. So a leadership team comprised of members and friends of HOC has been gathering monthly since May of last year, guided by consultant Reverend Susan Rothenberg and advisor Reverend Duke Dixon, who have experience with this type of work. You've heard about some of this process through sermons and newsletter articles and even some hands-on activities, and you'll continue to hear more about that and be invited to participate in that work. We're discerning the big questions, that core value of who are we? Who are we called to be and do? And then who is our neighbor? Who are we called to serve? For the latter half of the cohort in 2020, we'll take this information and discern what God is calling us to do, take some action steps. How are we called to serve the neighbors in our community? And what canoes will we need to drop to do this effectively? This process will require some risk and experimentation, possibly things not going quite the way we expect them to, but we trust in God's grace, that God is faithful, that God will go before us and strengthen us to meet those challenges. I'm confident that the one who began a good work among us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That God will make us pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Basically, this means that God will fully transform us into the people he desires us to be and be a source of blessing to our neighbors around us. For our ultimate purpose is not to grow this institution, but to grow up ourselves into full Christ-likeness and share Christ's transformative love in various ways with our neighbors and our community. We may worry about whether we'll have enough to do what God is calling us to do. And there are no likely easy answers to how we will sustain our ministry with smaller numbers. But I believe the God who provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field will provide for us too. Jesus encourages us not to worry about not having enough, but God, our loving Heavenly Father, will provide for us the things that we need to do what we're called to do. If we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, we can trust that the things we need to do what we're called to do will be given to us as well along the way. This coming year will be one of trusting in God's grace and provision in ways we may not be comfortable with at first, but I'm confident that if we trust God, God will show up in ways above and beyond what we could ask for. The year 2019 was a year of many blessings and great accomplishments for our congregation, and we should celebrate these and celebrate one another. And despite our challenges, God will give us the grace and the provision to fulfill the calling he has given to this congregation, this unique expression of Christ's body in this unique time and in this unique place, to do what we're called to do. So I echo the words of Paul. I thank my God every time I remember you, continually praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and the praise of God. May God continue to bless our congregation and give us 2020 vision for our ministry in the coming year. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.